This message is presented to you by Christian Celebration Center. Our prayer is that you enjoy this recording and that it's a blessing to your life. You can find all of our resources by visiting cccmidland.com.
Well, thank you very much for just clapping. That makes me feel awesome. So, being honest, you know, CCC is really a place that is so near and dear to Mandy and I's heart. It's a place that we were sent out of for our first ministry position. It's a place where, in these pews, we encountered the love and power of God at deeper levels when we've grown in our pursuit and our walk of Jesus. And so many awesome things have happened in the last 10 to 11 years in the sanctuary for us. And so I count it as an honor just to be able to be up here and just share the word with you this morning. And so just a little bit about me and my wife here, Mandy. We are the student ministries pastors here at Christian Celebration Center, and we love what we do. We love this community, and I am convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we've been here just a little over 8 months, going into our ninth, that this church, this community, has the best students. I am convinced of that, beyond a shadow of a doubt. And the other thing I've noticed with that is the reason they are so amazing is because of their parents. We have amazing students because we have amazing parents. And so I know sometimes students, you don't always see that. You're like, oh, it's my parents. Like, when you get home, thank them for being awesome because they're the ones that made you awesome, okay? Can we go there? Thank them when you get home. But seriously, parents, thank you. It's Mandy and I's heart and desire to partner alongside of you. So if there's anything we can do, please let us know. That is our heart and our intention. Let's go ahead and take a peek at this video.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boom.
Peek-a-boo. I don't know what is so intriguing about that game, but there's something about as we get older, it's a little, like, less intriguing. I mean, maybe this happened during guest reception here, like, when we were all shaking hands, but I didn't see it, at least, if any of you guys were playing peekaboo with each other. If you were, this is a judgment-free place, okay? But there's something about when you play this with little kids that just blows their mind. They're like, think you're the coolest person ever. And I've often wondered about that. What is it about children that love peekaboo? Well, Cambridge University came out with a recent study. There's actually a science behind peekaboo, believe it or not. That's the craziest part of, like, there's money given to figure this stuff out. Mind blown. But Cambridge University did a study on the game of peekaboo, and what they've discovered is in early childhood development, when they can't see your eyes, they literally think you've disappeared. Isn't that incredible? That's why sometimes when kids get in trouble, you see them cover their eyes. They think also that if they can't see your eyes, like if they're covered, that they've just disappeared. And I'm really glad that we moved past that in development because that would be super awkward in the workplace when your boss walks in and he's like, hey, have you finished that report? And you're just like, you know, something embarrassing happens, same deal. Or none of you would ever experience this, but getting pulled over for doing a few miles over. Police officer walks up to the car and he's like, whoa, where did he go? There was somebody driving this thing like 3 seconds ago. I know it. Can you imagine? Like, I don't know. I just think it's incredible. In that stage of development, though, what's happening with children is their brain is processing what they're seeing, and eyes are a huge visual cue of how they interpret what is in front of them. It's what really children notice first about somebody is their eyes. That's why it's such a big deal. And just as toddlers process eyes, it's the visual cue within their minds, we have a tendency as adults to notice things about others. And everybody's different. Some people notice things like height or hair color, frame build. My wife, she is a hairstylist, a cosmetologist, so there's awesome times where we're leaving stores and she's like, man, did you notice that person's hair color or this cut? And I'm like, they had hair. You know, it's what Mandy notices first. For me, I really, really like shoes, and so there's times where you know, someone's got a new pair of J's on, and I'm like, those are awesome. It's what I notice first. It's my visual cue within my mind. Now, appearances do matter to an extent. What we show externally to others can help describe us. It can help them figure out a little bit of what we're like, but going beyond hairstyles or clothing brands or shoe preferences, are we showing the people around us something more than just the external? Are we showing them something more? More than an external visual cue, are we letting the internal, or I would ask, are we letting the eternal show? Things that matter, are we letting our faith be visible? Do we live our lives in such a way that others see the faith that we have in Christ? Is our faith what others notice first about us? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning with this amazing church and this amazing group of people. God, I pray that as we dive into your holy scripture, Lord, that it will challenge the heart and it will encourage us as we leave here today. Hide your word deep like you promised to do. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 14. We'll be in the 8th through the 10th verses this morning. And once you get there, if you'd please stand for the reading of God's word. I love the book of Acts. It's such a great encouragement of what the early church is and really an example of what we are today. You know, the book of Acts is known as Acts or the Actions of the Holy Spirit. He's still moving and he's still working today. So as you read that, just remember, when you're in the book of Acts, it's the actions of the Holy Spirit. That's how he wants to work in your life. Acts 14, verses 8 through 10, and it says this, "In Lystra there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth, and he had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and he called out, 'Stand up on your feet.' At that, the man jumped up and began to walk." You may be seated. Love that passage. Absolutely love it. Paul, on one of his missionary journeys, is preaching, and he notices something about a man. And what he notices isn't what Scripture tells us, his disability. He doesn't see that. He doesn't see his shortcomings. He doesn't notice his clothes. He doesn't notice his shoes, his hair. He doesn't notice his athletic abilities or his build. Scripture says that he, as Paul, noticed something completely different in this man. Paul was seeing beyond the physical. It says that Paul saw his faith. I love how the Message translation words this. In there, in verse 9, it says that the man was ripe for God's work and that he was ready to believe. And the picture that paints in my mind is a faith that's ready for harvest. A faith that is not just shallow, a faith that is being developed and growing, a faith that is expectant for a move of God. Man, I love that. I believe what Paul was seeing is the same thing that Jesus would see in this man. I think that Paul was having the eyes of the Father, and I think that because Luke 18, verse 8, in the second half, tells us that when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It means that Jesus is looking for faith in you and I. Do we possess it? Do we have it? Are we owning it? Makes me wonder, what was it about this man that made his faith so evident? What made his faith ripe? What made it noticeable? And I can guarantee you, it wasn't like when you watch The Price is Right. Okay, this man didn't have like a whole group of people and they're all wearing t-shirts that like light up and they're like, pick me! You know, nothing like, I have faith! And, like, oh, and the whole room's cheering for him. It's not like that. Scripture doesn't say anything near it. What it says is it says that he was listening to Paul and maybe he was leaning in. His body posture was like so excited about hearing the promises in the Word of God for the first time. He's hearing this Jesus. In this culture, he had maybe even seen him crucified. He definitely would have known the news Everybody did in this area. Going, wait, that same Jesus, he rose from the dead? He's the Son of God? Wow. This Jesus is able to bring salvation? Forgive me of my sins? This Jesus can do what nobody else has done and he can heal me? Even though I was born this way? Leaning and hanging on those promises. I don't know what it was about this man that made his faith show, but I believe it had to do with the hope and trust that was building up in him as he heard Paul share the promises of God. Now, the simple truth this morning is that faith is spelled trust. Faith is spelled trust. Now, we all have faith in something. We can put faith in our careers, in our education, in politics, our retirement. We can put faith in another person and our achievements, but are we putting our faith in Jesus above all else? Is he the number one pursuit in our life? Because the faith journey begins with trusting Jesus alone for what only Jesus can do. So the first of three points or questions that we are going to talk about this morning is this: do you have faith? Do you have faith? Now, Hebrews 11 defines faith as confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, the first part of that, confidence in what we hope for, we see this lived out in a believer's life because they have a confident assurance that there will be a day when they will stand before Jesus in heaven. It hasn't happened yet, but we know that's going to happen, a confident assurance. Then I love the next part, assurance in the unseen, and assurance in what has not yet happened. It's proof that it will happen. That's the type of faith that this passage is talking about, that Scripture tells us we need to have. So if we go back to our text in Acts, when we look at verse 9, that word faith in the Greek, when you break it down, means a conviction that God exists. It indicates a relationship. It means one who can be relied on and trusted, and it means the conviction of truth. What I love about that word, Pastor Keith, amazing in the seven series that we're through. Revelation is my favorite book, and I just love how deep we're going with it here in the seven churches. A few weeks ago, he mentioned one church that was praised for the faith that they had, and it's the same word. It's the same picture. It's the same type of faith. It's that conviction of truth that is unwavering. Unwavering. The next word I want to highlight in verse 9 is actually a compound word, and it's he had. That literally means to have and to hold, to keep and possess. It means to be bound by blood, to cling to. It's the word that they use for the New Testament to explain marriage covenant. Talking about a faith that's not separable. Over 9 years ago, Mandy and I stood right here and we said our wedding vows, and it was the best day of my life by far. And Pastor Joel had these two bags that were filled with salt. And during the ceremony, he had us open them up, take a pinch out of our bag and put it in the other, and then shake it all up. And it was an illustration about how once you make that kind of covenant commitment, you can never get those parts back. You are linked for life. And that's the type of word that they're using here to explain the type of faith this man has. It was a faith that was not separable, that was completely and totally rooted in Jesus. A Hebrews 11 faith is confident proof in who Jesus is. Confident proof in who he is. Do you have faith this morning that Jesus is who he said he is? That he's the Son of God, that he came to earth, that he laid down his life for my sins and for yours so we could have relationship? Do you have faith this morning that he rose again from the dead? That he sits at the right hand of God the Father? Do you have faith that he's returning, that he's coming back, he hasn't forgotten about us? Do you have faith this morning? Do you believe that he's the only way to heaven? You know, in our culture, it can be popular to say otherwise. We say that there's many different religions and many different interpretations and all paths lead there, but that's not what Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us there's one way, and it comes through faith and relationship in Jesus. In Jesus alone. You know, as followers of Christ, we do more than just believe. We possess the assurance in who Jesus is, and as a result, our identities and our purposes are rooted in Him, not in ourselves, not in our accomplishments, not in our careers or educations, rooted in Jesus. It's a type of faith that we need to own and possess, a faith that can't be separated from our life. Do you have faith this morning? Do you own and possess a Hebrews 11 type faith? Because as a follower of Christ, you can. Second question this morning is your faith visible? Is your faith visible? Is the trust that you have in Jesus visible to others? Does that faith reflect in how you handle a stressful situation at work? Is that faith reflected in how you look for opportunities to influence others for the opportunity of advancing the kingdom? Are you letting the faith that you possess show to others? Do the disciplines that are in your life reflect Jesus? When you think of your morning routines and your morning habits as you get up and you get that third cup of coffee, have you talked to Jesus yet? I know I have, because with Him, I'm a much better person. And coffee. Coffee and Jesus. Those two things go great together. You know, Romans 1:16 tells us, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. Are we living unashamed lives? Lives that are all in and visible for Jesus. There's a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs that is an incredible, incredible read. And if you've never read it, I encourage you to do so. For me, it challenges my faith. It puts perspective to my circumstances and my issues and my woes as I see what people have done historically through the centuries for Christ. In AD 303, according to Fox's Book of Martyrs, there's a man by the name of Victor. This is during the 10th persecution of Christians in Rome. And what it tells us is that he was a godly man, and he lived his life in such a way that his faith showed to others. It was noticeable. It was visible. He was not holding back. He was not hiding it. And when he lived this kind of faith in an area of persecution, the emperor noticed. He had him arrested. He was brutally beaten and tortured and then thrown into jail. And for me, I think that would be pretty close to game over. Okay, that would be what I would call a bad day. For Victor, he's seen an opportunity. Instead of being like, woe is me, I've just went through some horrible things, he began to minister to his jailers. And it tells us that three of them, as a result, had given their lives to Jesus. A faith that's visible. A faith that gets noticed, that challenges me. I want to own and possess that type of faith. And Mark Batterson was quoted as saying that maybe faith has less to do with gaining knowledge and more to do with causing wonder. Do we live lives that bring glory to God? And as we pursue Jesus, do they see a wonder in our lives, an awestruck wonder of what God is doing in and through us despite our circumstances? Despite our issues, are we living a life that causes wonder in others as Christ followers? Because the world around us, those who don't follow Jesus, see something different when we begin to live all out for Him. And when they see it, they begin to ask, why do you handle this situation differently? Why do you do this or why do you do that? And it's at those moments we can point our hope back to Jesus. Faith is spelled trust. Are you letting your faith show? Third question this morning I would ask is your faith circumstantial? Is your faith circumstantial? We all have troubles and problems that come up in life, hardships and issues. We're not exempt as Christians. Hard things happen
But the difference with following Jesus is that our hope isn't in what's in front of us. Our hope is in Jesus. We face issues knowing he's bigger than our problems. And I want to remind you this morning, if you're going through something difficult, God has not abandoned you. He's a loving Father who is concerned for your needs. He's there with you. He's helping you through it because he's bigger than it. I love the lyrics to a song we do here on Sunday morning called It Is Well by Bethel. And there's been some issues and some hardships that I've walked through where that song has helped me just get through remembering that God is so much more than what I'm facing. And there's one line in particular, I think I'm holding it together, and then we play it here, and I'm like, I got this. And then it comes to this line, and I just lose it every time. And it says, the winds and waves still know his name. What I love about the promise of that is when the storms of life come, when trials and issues and problems and things that just seem insurmountable and impassable rise up around us, that still small whisper that says the winds and the waves, all this stuff, they still know his name. They still bow before him. It doesn't mean that the things we face aren't going to be hard or that it's going to feel impossible. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy to journey through or we're going to be discouraged. What it means is that when we hope in Jesus, he's greater than our hardships. Jesus has to be more than your circumstances. You know, Mandy and I talk a lot about just wanting to be transparent and wanting to be real. You know, we go through struggles too. All of us have things we walk through in life. Maybe you're at a point where things are good. I'm happy about that. But remember, when the troubles come, maybe you're in a hard circumstance right now, I want you to know you will get through this with Jesus. Mandy and I just journeyed through what was probably one of the more difficult things we faced in our 9+ years of marriage, and probably the hardest thing I've personally faced in my life. And it came this year, May 15th. We got news that we did not expect. That type of news that really takes your breath away. And we're going, what just happened? And it was a doctor's diagnosis of infertility. Now, we'd been trying and hoping for 2 years to start a family. And so it wasn't news that we had expected. And for me, it was hard to swallow. And, you know, 2 years of praying and hoping to start a family, I was just like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I feel confused. I don't understand why. A big portion of my prayer time was asking him that very question, God, why? I don't understand why. Why? Why is this going on? And you guys ever been there? You've had those why questions with God? It's okay to be there. You know, God has broad shoulders. He can handle that. It's part of having a real relationship with him, is asking those questions, being like, I know you're good, I know you're holy, but I don't understand why I have to go through this. You know, and after a time of me asking God these why questions, I felt his Holy Spirit ask me just ever so gently. And he said, if you and Mandy never have children, would you still worship me? And my answer is yes, of course I would, Lord. And I heard him say again, am I not a holy God? I said, yes, you are. And he said, then you need to begin to move past this. He was showing me my faith could not be circumstantial on what was in front of me. It doesn't mean that it was easy to walk through. Mandy and I now have a peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make sense in the middle of this. We don't know how God's going to work it out in the future, if he's going to work a miracle. We don't know if he's going to have us adopt. We have no idea what the future holds, but what we know is that Jesus is greater than our circumstance. Jesus is greater than what we're walking through. Our faith cannot be dependent on our circumstances. It needs to be dependent on who Jesus is. You need to take that time to process those hurts and struggles as you walk through something hard It didn't happen from Andy and I overnight. It took time. As we transition, we begin to wind down, I want to remind you of John chapter 16. Jesus is sitting and talking with his disciples. He begins to tell them that there's some issues and some circumstances that are coming their way that are not going to be easy. They're going to face these types of struggles and these types of hardships. But he says in the middle of that chapter something fascinating, and he says, but in it you can have joy. It's the promise that their lives aren't dictated by their circumstances, rather their relationship with Jesus. And he winds down that portion in the 33rd verse by saying, I have told you these things so that in me, not in your circumstances or your hardships or your issues, in Jesus, you may have peace. In this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. Faith is spelled trust. Trusting that Jesus is greater than your problems. Trusting that in the middle of your issues, you can have peace through Jesus. You can have a peace that might not make sense to what others are seeing, but it's that visible faith. Like the man in Acts had, a faith that is seen. That's the kind of faith I want to own and possess. I want others to see what is going on in my heart externally. Faith is spelled trust. The worship team can begin to make their way up. We're going to respond in just a moment. Trust, though, is built by spending time with somebody. Pursuing Jesus at a deeper level, if that's your heart's desire this morning, I encourage you to take daily time in his word. Get into the word. Read about the promises of Scripture. Begin to talk to Jesus about your issues and your circumstances and your troubles and your trials and ask those why questions. But know he's bigger than them. Continue to stand on his promises. Maybe it's as simple for you as when you feel that anxiety and that worry coming up, putting on worship music and just sitting in his presence, allowing God to be God and knowing that he is good, that he loves you, and he has overcome. You know, the only reason Mandy and I have peace in the circumstance we're walking through is because we have been seeking Jesus and spending time with him. You know, I was spending time with Jesus when he spoke those things to me. What if I had just stayed mad? What if I let my faith be circumstantial and I pushed God to the side and I just kept asking why questions, but I wasn't spending time with him? I wouldn't have reached a place of peace like I had. You need to spend time with somebody to develop trust. And as you spend time with Jesus, he will prove that he is trustworthy. Maybe this morning there's visual cues going on in your mind. There's things you're seeing in the external circumstance in front of you. You feel worry, you feel doubt, you feel scared. Maybe you're upset about something you just simply don't understand. Maybe that circumstance is a health issue, cancer. Maybe it's something with your marriage, you're struggling, or maybe a financial issue. Maybe it's the loss of a job or depression. You have stress or family issues going on, and it just feels overwhelming. The winds and the waves crashing over top, but no, Jesus is greater than our struggles. I would remind you this morning, our hope is in him. We can't trust in what's in front of us. Can you imagine in Scripture if David stood there and just looked at the 7-foot whatever Goliath, or 9 feet, however tall he was, and said, this is impossible, because it was, but not with God. What if the Israelites, as they entered into the promised land, looked at the walls of Jericho and they said, this is impassable and impossible, but not with God. Crossing of the Red Sea with the Egyptians pressing down on them and an ocean on the other side, an impossible circumstance, but not with God. When the Israelites crossed into the promised land, they stood in front of the Jordan River, and we think river like, oh, small. This thing was huge and at flood stage. Impassable. Impossible. But not with God. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I can promise you, if you begin to trust in the Lord this morning, you will make it through. He is trustworthy, and he's proven himself time and time and time again. Faith is spelled trust. And a relationship with Jesus cannot be dependent on our circumstances, our issues, but it has to be dependent on who Jesus is. Is your faith showing this morning? Everybody just bow their head and close their eyes. I just want to ask this question to you this morning. I wonder how many would be here as you heard the word of God this morning, something was stirring within your heart. Maybe you're at a place where you're far away from the Lord and you know you're not where you should be in relationship, and you want to possess that type of faith that is that confidence, assurance in who Jesus says he is. You want to have that relationship. Or you're here for the first time and you're hearing the truth and the promise of God and you're realizing, I'm far from him. I don't have a relationship with the only one who can save. Regardless of which one of you that is, I just wonder who would be here this morning that would say, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to submit my life to his care and his control. Just by show of hands, all through the sanctuary, is there anybody here? Can look up here. I want to encourage you, if you raised your hand this morning, know that Jesus sees that, but more importantly, he sees your heart. And I would encourage you, before you leave this place this morning, if you raised your hand, or if you should have raised your hand, and you're just like, ah, couldn't quite get it up, it's okay. Whoever brought you, talk to them about the decision you've made. And if you came by yourself, please, before you leave, connect with one of us as pastors. We would love to connect and pray with you and help you take your next steps towards Jesus. Faith is spelled trust. As we respond in the form of worship, I'm going to encourage each of you here, if you're saying, I want to just take an intentional step towards Jesus. Maybe you just want a deeper level of faith. Maybe you want a better ownership of that kind of faith, to not be as circumstantial. Or maybe you're walking through a hardship or a problem, a struggle that just feels impossible. No matter where you are, the common denominator of that is, I just want to have more faith. So if that's you, as the worship team leads us in song, I'm going to invite you to come to the front and begin to worship him. But as you worship, talk to Jesus about what you're going through. Talk to him about your circumstance. Ask him for a faith that is visible and not circumstantial. Let's stand.
Thanks for listening to Christian Celebration Center podcast. We hope that you found this helpful. For more sermons, service times, or to start your next step, visit our website at cccmidland.com.